Welcome to that classic rock show on Huntley Community Radio, 101.5 FM and streaming 24/7. I'm Jim Samaria.
And I am still your co-host, Mark Plotnick. Each week, our show will highlight a different theme from the most groundbreaking era of rock music, 1950s through the early 1980s.
Mark and I are authors of the book Classic Rock, Photographs from Yesterday and Today. It features my photography of rock artists from 1973 to present day with words by Mark Plotnick.
Today, we are celebrating International Guitar Month. But rather than feature the ubiquitous, I know that's a big word, guitar gods past and present, we will highlight guitarists who we feel are underappreciated and deserve more recognition.
And speaking of guitar heroes, I've never been a big fan of those best of polls published by music magazines. I know they serve a purpose and that panelists are very often compromised of distinguished musicians and critics, but I feel who is best is very subjective. For me, it comes down to personal taste, Mark. I don't know about you, but for example, how do you compare Eddie Van Halen with Les Paul? It's comparing apples and oranges.
You can't. To make Jim's point, we will use Rolling Stone magazine's most recent list of top 100 guitarists, but we'll use it in a different way. We have picked 8 who did not make the list, but who deserve greater recognition for their style, tone, inventiveness, and passion. So if you don't hear your favorites, stay tuned to future shows. So Jim, let's kick it off with a guitar player you got to know personally.
Well, the first guy is going to be Ronnie Montrose. In late 72, I went to see the Edgar Winter Group at the Kinetic Playground, and I came away a big fan of their guitar player, who was Ronnie Montrose. They were playing their big hits, Free Ride and Frankenstein, and Ronnie just blazed away on his Les Paul. Little information about Ronnie. Ronnie first picked up a guitar at 17 and said the guitar found him, not him finding the guitar. He was a member of several different bands in the San Francisco area before his big break with the Edgar Winter Group. Ronnie was already an in-demand guitarist, having played with Van Morrison, Boz Scaggs, and Herbie Hancock. He formed the original band Montrose in early 1973 with a new young singer named Sammy Hagar. From the first Montrose album, here's Good Rockin' Tonight.
Have you heard the news?
called That Song Will Wake You Up. That is rock and roll. Ronnie continued success with some solo albums and with a band called Gamma. Mark, I'm sure you know this because I probably bragged about it a lot, but I'm proud to say that my photos of the band are part of their liner notes in the pamphlet that on the reissue of the first Montrose album. And as a sidebar, I was very lucky. I got to become friends with Ronnie. I met him at a concert in the summer of 2011, and we kind of hit it off, and I was invited to his next show in Chicago in the fall in the same year of 2011, and we were able to spend a lot of time together and had a great time, great guy.
And here's a bit of trivia for all you fledgling young guitarists who are listening to our show. Ronnie produced his coveted overdriven guitar tone on that first album from a small Fender amp that he bought at a yard sale for just $90, so you don't need expensive equipment to sound good. Way back in 1973, I attended my first Robin Trower concert at Chicago's Auditorium Theater. I thought to myself, this couldn't be the same dude who played guitar with the neoclassical British rock band Procol Harum, but it was. Robin has frequently been compared to Jimi Hendrix, and he considers this humbling, but he also feels it has kept fans and critics from appreciating his entire musicality. If you've never heard Robin Trower play, you are in for a real treat. Here is Day of the Eagle off the 1974 album Bridge of Sighs.
Thank you.
All right. Jim, why don't you tell our listeners your personal connection to Robin Trower?
Well, back in the early 70s, I got to meet all those guys. And my photos, again, are included in the liner notes of their reissued debut album, Twice Removed from Yesterday. Also, his second drummer, Bill Lorden, some of my photos are in the book that he has written. And I just wanted to comment on the vocalist, James Dewar. I think he's one of the most underrated vocalists around.
I agree, Jim. A word of warning based on personal experience. If you are attending your first Robin Trower concert, be sure to wear earplugs.
He's a little loud.
Yes. You are listening to That Classic Rock Show on Huntley Community Radio, WHRU LP 101.5 FM and streaming.
The next guitarist deserves no introduction, but I have to introduce him so you know who I'm talking about. It's Don Felder. He grew up in Gainesville, Florida, an area that was loaded with rock and roll talent. Don took slide lessons from Dwayne Allman, and in turn, Don taught Tom Petty. How's that? And during high school, Don was in bands with Stephen Stills and Bertie Leadon, who was also in the Eagles at a later time. As I said, a very talented area of Florida. Speaking of neighborhoods, Mark, I know you grew up in Chicago. Did you have some kind of talent in your neighborhood?
Of course. I'm going to brag about my neighborhood. Members of the Flock lived in and around my neighborhood and actually played in my high school before they became internationally famous. And actually, for a short time, a young electric violinist by the name of Jerry Goodman lived down the block from me. Jerry was a member of the Flock and went on to greater fame as a member of the Mahavishnu Orchestra.
So, whose neighborhood was better?
Mine.
Who would win in softball?
Yours.
Oh, okay. Well, back to Don. Don is probably most famous for his work on Hotel California, where he and Joe Walsh traded licks in one of the most enduring guitar solos in rock history. Don didn't play his legendary Gibson 6 and 12 string double neck in the studio recording, but he only played it in performance. But I'm not going to play Hotel California because you've already heard it a million times. I'm going to showcase Don's talent with the song Heavy Metal from the movie of the same name. It was originally an Eagles song that Felder wrote titled You're Really High, Aren't You? But never made it on an Eagles record. He worked it to become Heavy Metal, and here's Heavy Metal. That was Heavy Metal, Taking a Ride by Don Felder, released in 1981. Mark, I'm sure you know this, Don still creates new music, and in 2019, he had a solo album called American Rock and Roll, featuring diverse talents such as Slash, Peter Frampton, and Joe Satriani. And now, Mark, I understand you have a monster of a song to play.
Nice segue, Jim.
Thank you.
Our next guitarist is co-founder and creative leader of a group known as the Thinking Man's Heavy Metal Band. I didn't even know there was such a thing as a Thinking Man's Band. But I am talking about Blue Oyster Cult.
I know them. More cowbell, right?
Jim, thanks, Christopher Walken. Truly one of the all-time great SNL skits. But let's get back to our guitarist, singer, and songwriter, Donald Roser, whose stage name is Buck Dharma. He began as a drummer, but gave up the skins after injuring his hand playing basketball. He gravitated toward guitar, abandoned his pursuit of a chemical engineering degree, there's that thinking man again, and put all of his energies into becoming a full-time musician. Dharma wrote the guitar lick of our next song in a Dallas hotel room, and it reminded him of one of his favorite films, the original Godzilla. He then penned the lyrics as if he was writing the movie's theme song. My favorite verse is a warning he wrote and repeated four times to close out the song. It says, "History shows again and again how nature points out the folly of men. Godzilla." So let's listen. All right. As we all know, rock musicians are better known for their hedonism than altruism. But the latter deserves more attention. For example, back in 1996, Buck Dharma learned of a 10-year-old Godzilla movie fan who was battling cancer. To help the family defray medical costs, Buck and his bandmates performed a benefit concert and released the video.
Well, Mark, I'm sure I told you this. I was very fortunate to have met Buck Dharma last time they played the Arcata and got to talk to him quite a while. He actually posed with our book, Classic Rock.
That's right.
I have a photo of us together. And I think it's kind of funny that it said he played basketball because he's only like 5'3", 5'4", something like that. So obviously a point guard. But the band still average 100 concerts a year, and they continue to capture new fans. They are just a great rock band and really, really nice guys. We had a nice long chat.
Well, regarding the SNL skit, I read an interview where the reporter asked Buck if he was disappointed with the send-up on the more cowbell bit. And actually, he said he thought it was very funny. He was just glad that they did not savage the band. So he was happy with it. But he is dismayed that of all the Godzilla remakes, none of them have used this song as a theme song.
Really? So, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Well, you are listening to that Classic Rock Show on WHRU-LP, Huntley Community Radio, 101.5 FM, and streaming. Please stay tuned for part two.